This free program is paid for by the listener members of KPFT Houston. If you're not already a member, think about joining with us to help keep free speech alive.
Join us. On MySpace, KPFT provides event videos, updates, and a lot more. Visit myspace.com/KPFT Houston to add KPFT as a friend. It's fun, so catch up with KPFT online. Again, on MySpace, visit myspace.com/KPFT Houston. On Facebook, visit us at facebook.com/KPFT Houston. This is commercial-free, listener-sponsored Pacifica Radio and KPFT Houston.
At 90.1 FM, this is KPFT Houston. And now, Houston's only primetime radio program dedicated to news and concerns of the lesbi, gay, and transgender community. This is Queer Voices.
Good evening. This is Jack Valinsky.
And Jennifer Renee.
Brian Levinka.
Summer Iman.
And Glenn Holt. And on tonight's show, it's J.D. Doyle's Queer Music Heritage. This month's episode has interviews with six young artists, all with excellent new CDs, and J.D. has an hour packed with their music starting at 10 o'clock. Before that, May 1st. Yes, we're already almost out of April. May 1st is the 18th annual Houston Transgender Unity Banquet. And the Houston Transgender Center is reopening with an open house on May 1st. Rose Wall and Chris Williams will join us to bring us all the local transgender news. On NewsWrap, the new U.S. queer activist grassroots group Get Equal is demanding progress on equal rights at various national venues. And the venerable Archie comic book series, Get This, will introduce an openly gay character this fall. Riverdale High School student Kevin Keller will appear in the September issue of Veronica. Then This Way Out presents the second half of their fascinating interview with Nate Phelps. He's the son of the infamous preacher Fred Phelps. And on Audiophile, a look at the latest queer music from around the world. All that tonight on Queer Voices.
Well, and before we start all that, we have a couple announcements. Jennifer?
Well, we've got a number of things happening at the Community Center. Their coming out group is meeting on Monday, May 3rd at 7 p.m. at the Community Center. And now, I am not French, and this is Soiree...
Bonne soirée, Palou.
Oh, thank you so much. I knew you were French. Never mind. Anyway, we have that. It's coming up. And let's see, on May 16th. Also, the Community Center is doing a fundraiser for their scholarship fund. And it is going to be on May 14th. And... big announcement, Queer Bingo is back.
I love Queer Bingo.
Yeah, so you got to watch for it. It's not ready this month and possibly not next month, but it is coming again.
It's coming back, yeah.
Yes, I enjoyed that. I enjoyed Queer Bingo.
So, and of course, we have a big interview tonight talking about...
Yes.
Tonight is tea night, right?
Yes, it's tea night.
Should be tea night every night, right?
Well, it should be tea night anyway. The Transgender Unity Banquet, which has been going on, it was first formed just to bring the varying groups of in the transgender community, the support groups, together and unify for... one voice for the community. For many years, we worked at cross purposes, like most other communities are concerned. And of course, recently we had opened the Transgender Center, but it closed for various reasons, and now it's reopening.
Okay, well, we're going to take a little break now, and we'll be back with that interview.
The snooze and hold me from behind. I'm half asleep, I'm half turned on. 6 more minutes of me in your arms. It's alright, it's okay. It doesn't matter what they say. Sticks and stones may break our bones. Still a family anyway.
ourselves like we're not put down, because every day is a reason, is a reason. Because every day is a reason, is a reason, is a reason.
That was Jeff Altergott, and the name of the song, Every Day is a Reason, that's from his 2009 album, Balloons. This is Queer Voices.
And this is Jennifer Renee.
And Brian Levinka.
And we have in our studio tonight, Rose Wall, who's chair of the Houston Transgender Unity Committee, and Kristen
Williams.
I don't know why. We've been friends for years, and you know, it's my best friend, and then forget their name. Kristen Williams, the director of the Transgender Federation of America. Well, I just blew that, guys.
Jennifer
is being blonde tonight.
And
I'm
she's as red as a beet.
Matches my blouse I've got on. And coming up this weekend is a big weekend for both organizations.
Yes, ma'am.
It's the 18th annual Unity Banquet, and Rose, tell us something about that. It's I briefly in that introduction said it started with the various organizations trying to get together to work for a common purpose, but there's more to that story than just that.
Yeah, we've really kind of taken on some issues over the years. One of the big ones is producing and the Transgender Day of Remembrance. And
that's in November.
In November.
Was it third week or something like that usually?
Yeah, usually just before Thanksgiving.
Okay.
And, you know, trying to raise awareness with that and everything and make certain that it's an ongoing event that is supported, so our funds that we raise at the banquet basically goes to three primary things to support transgender issues in Houston. One is the Pride Parade, so it pays for the float, the entry fees, and all that sort of thing. And also the scholarships that we started.
The Peggy Rudd Scholarship.
Peggy Rudd Scholarships we started a few years ago. And then, of course, the Transgender Day of Remembrance.
And now, the Day of Remembrance, for people who have been living under a rock and maybe don't know, tell us what the Transgender Day of Remembrance is.
It's a day in which we talk about all the people who have died due to violence simply because they are transgendered. Transgendered.
And Rose, I don't want to totally interrupt.
Right. Well, go ahead.
I just wanted to interrupt.
Yes.
And I wanted to ask you, you know, so in the past, I mean, we've had what, you know, a big year would be like, you know, we're remembering 30, 35 people. How many people were we remembering last year?
The actual official list, when I shut it down and closed it down was 86.
86.
86. And just.
And then the
days before the event, I got the link and found the website for the international. There's a, I forget the name of the organization that is organizing, all the research, and they've gone back like to, I think, 08 or something, and they've been collecting all these police reports.
Well, I think
and
it's
there's
important.
Just hundreds and hundreds of unreported events.
Well, and what's important to remember at this point is that Missy Cowell, a trans person here in Houston, was brutally murdered here in Houston, and the police have no any information about it. I doubt if anybody's looking into it anymore. You know how it is.
Well,
unfortunately, when trans people are just throwaway people.
as far as the police in Houston are concerned. Sometimes it certainly feels that way.
Right.
But I think your point, Kristen, was it's increasing, or is it just being reported more these days?
You know, that's hard to kind of gauge. Mm-hmm. And I think that, you know, as the, you know, international transgender community, our ability to communicate becomes more sophisticated, I think it's easier to uncover transgender violence, especially whenever it's not necessarily reported in international media. You know, now we have connections with transgender groups and communities throughout the world, and we can kind of monitor this a little bit better. But, you know, I have my sense is that it's probably about the same.
Yeah. I thought what's interesting at last year's Day of Remembrance, going through, and there were a lot from the Arab countries.
Yes.
And some of the murders were not just violent. They were just
decimation.
Horrendous.
In fact, mm-hmm. A couple of years ago, we had a video that was deemed too graphic to show at Day of Remembrance. Mm-hmm. It was a video smuggled out of Iraq. And it was a transgender individual arrested by Iraqi police for the crime of being transgender.
Oh, I saw that on YouTube.
Yes, and they were, this person was murdered. And what you get to see is the police, this is their comedy video of their, you know, berating this poor individual before they killed her. So, you know, that kind of content has only recently been available to the international transgender community.
Well, let's briefly go back to the banquets before we move on too far, because I want to cover some of this information when we talk about the Transgender Center.
Right. The event will be on Saturday. Tickets are still available. You can go to our website at htuck.org, and there'll be a link there to Ticketweb. Anyway, you know, you can go through there and order tickets online, or you can show up at the door. They're a little bit more expensive.
Do it online.
Yeah. Do it online, or you can show up at the door.
It's quite reasonable, though. It's not like a lot of other banquets and that are around that you hear about and events that go there. It's quite reasonable, and it does support the Peggy Rudd Scholarship Fund.
Right. Well, one of the things that we've done, and we've achieved it again this year, is that we have a lot of sponsors, you know, platinum level, gold level, silver level, and all that sort of thing. And in advance of the banquet, we typically have, and did have again this year, we had enough sponsors that the entire banquet was paid for.
So
anyone even shows up.
So the tickets are going... primarily, the people that are coming, the individuals who are coming and paying for tickets, are actually, their money's going directly to the scholarship fund.
Right, directly to the scholarship, the Pride Float, and putting on the Transgender Day of Remembrance.
Now, can I ask, if people haven't been to this event before, what can they expect? What's there at the banquet? Is it dancing? Is it socializing?
Right.
What sort of thing?
Well, we'll open the... we'll actually start the event at 6:30, and from 6:30 to 7:30, there'll be an open bar. You can mingle, mix, and just meet a whole bunch of different people. And then at 7:30, we'll actually kick off the event, where we will be presenting some various awards to transgender and non-transgender people.
Yeah, that's important to remember, that the banquet is not just for... trans people. It's actually for our friends in the community, our supporters, our allies in the straight and gay and lesbian community. So it is a homogeneous group. It's one of the few times that all of the members of the GLBNT and straight and allies actually interact with one another socially.
Right.
What is the attire? Like, if you're...
It's formal dress. We encourage formal dress. It's an opportunity for a lot of us who don't get a chance to wear our gowns to show up in a gown. But, and of course, all the trans guys, you know, show up in tuxes.
Oh yes, they're so cute. The trans men are so cute.
Yes, but you know, we would, as long as someone is not so inappropriately dressed that their clothing is falling off of them.
Like shorts or like flip-flops. No, no.
Right.
A couple
right.
of years ago, yeah, wasn't there an incident mm-hmm. with their something was falling out of their top.
Right.
What more can I say?
Yes, yes.
And he Scandal. And she wasn't a guy.
Uh-huh. Okay. Right.
So, and then, of course, there's a sit-down dinner, mm-hmm. and, of course, we have a main meal, and, of course, we have an alternative vegetarian meal, and I do want to reach out to all the vegetarians who came last year. We're not serving the same thing.
Mm.
We actually got together with the hotel, and they served us their five best dishes, and we said, no way are we serving this to these people.
It wasn't good?
And right. So we sat down, and we taught their chefs how to prepare vegetarian meals. So we're real confident that we're going to have a good vegetarian plate this year.
That takes a lot of work.
Yes, it does, you know, to educate a five-star chef.
Well,
you know.
It's important because mm-hmm. there are a lot of vegetarians who do come to the event.
Like me.
Yes, and, uh-huh. and it's
and
important.
You were there teaching them.
and I've been aware of that because mm-hmm. I've been to other banquets around, you know, and they put a vegetarian in it, you know, rabbits wouldn't have eaten it.
Salads.
Now, the banquet is usually in May. Is there significance to that? Is there a historical reference, or is that just the time you'll have it?
It's kind of the time that we have it. We used to have it in April all mm-hmm. the time, but it just seemed to conflict with little things like Easter
right.
and various things. And it seems like that first Saturday in May is a good time slot. It's far enough in advance of Pride that we can still get rolling on Pride after concentrating on the banquet itself and so forth.
And go on, after the meal, there's a speaker. And who's
right.
our speaker this year?
Our primary speaker this year is Mara Kiesling, and she is the director of the National... I'm going to mess this up just like you.
Oh.
The National Transgender...
Task Force, no. There's always some letters.
Now, NTCE.
Yep. Kristen knows it. Come on, Kristen.
Come on. Just spit it out.
National Transgender NTCE.
Oh, no. We're both messing it up.
You're on the radio.
and you're
referring to the guest speaker. You
don't remember the organization.
I didn't bring my notes.
Well, luckily, Jennifer is looking. This
Jennifer
is called stretching.
Look it up. Yeah, stretching.
Well, why don't we move then? What else? Yeah. After she speaks,
okay.
we'll go
mm-hmm.
back to that.
Okay. You know, we're going to be giving out a lot of awards, and then, of course, we're going to have the presentation of the scholarships. We have two scholarship recipients this year. We're giving two $1,000 scholarships. It's been really good. We're hoping that we will probably be able to increase that next year based on the amount of money that comes in, because we're trying to fundraise, so it's a fundraiser event for scholarships.
In the intro, Jennifer referred to the unity part of the banquet, and could you give a little bit of history of why it was called the Unity Banquet and kind of what was
right?
How did that come about?
Well, back in those days, you know, the various transgender groups and organizations were pretty segregated. Cross dressers didn't have anything to do with transsexuals. It just all the various aspects of the transgender, you know, family, you know, would actually fight amongst each other for funding and various things. We wouldn't work together towards a common interest. We'd undercut each other.
What time frame was this? Was this like 10, 20 years ago?
Right. It actually was, this is the 18th annual banquet, so it was 18 years ago.
I see.
Well, and the thing is that it was sort of a mix, and that was what came together. It was in that year, and I believe there wasn't 20 people at the very first one.
Yes.
And it was, you know, it was just at a restaurant, and because I was there.
And today, is it how many people attend today?
We, last year, we seated, I think, 229.
So tenfold.
People at the banquet, yes.
And of course, after the speaker and the presentation of the, then we, what's it, the DJ and dancing starts?
Right. Then the dancing starts, you know, everyone gets crazy, and I have one of the sponsors for the banquet is my church, and I have some really good pictures of ministers
dancing,
doing a line dance.
Oh, right.
I use that against them sometimes.
And all right, give us the information one more time on the website where they can go get tickets.
Right. We have our website, htuc.org.
Now, wait, let me stop you there. Is it H-T-U-C?
H-T-U-C.
Okay.
Yeah, H-T-U-C.
.org.
And it's a new website. We just got it up in the last month.
And it's this Saturday.
It's this Saturday, 6:30. May 1st at 6:30.
Formal attire. You're going to have fun. Get there. Don't be square. I want to move on to the grand opening or the grand reopening of the Transgender Center. Kristen, tell us what's going on. I know it's over on Pacific.
That's right. It's 604 Pacific. We're open every day from 1 to 4 in the afternoon. And if you want to stop by and just kind of check it out, we'll be there. And the number, let me go ahead and give this out right now. The number is 713.
We're doing great.
Yeah, I know.
You should write her note.
713-520-8586. Again, that's 713-520-8586. And, you know, if you have any questions about, you know, the transgender community, if you want to learn about transgender history, if you're a transgender person in need of services, of housing, give us a call. We're there for you. And so this Saturday, right before the Unity Banquet, we're going to have an open house. That means that, you know, if you don't have anything to do before the banquet, come out, hang out, and, you know.
What time is that going to be?
That will be from noon until 5, and since the banquet starts at 6:30, I'll give you enough time to get over to the banquet. The next day, Sunday, we'll have the official kind of grand opening or grand reopening from 11 until 6:30. From 11 to 2, we're going to have a kind of a brunch where we're going to have pancakes and mimosas and all that kind of stuff come. You know, it's again, it's for the GLBT community. So if you'd like to just check out the Transgender Center and learn more and talk to other, you know, to trans folk, and just kind of hang out with us and have a good time, come to the center and enjoy, you know, pancake brunch with mimosas.
Well, you know, and I want to have that invitation reach out to the people that are not trans to come and to learn more about the community. I mean, the trans community is part of the GLBT community.
That's
but
right.
many of the gays and lesbians really don't have any trans friends.
Well, you know, it's funny, at the Trans Center, on our board of directors, about half of the board of directors do not identify as being trans. The Transgender Center is very, very inclusive of the entire GLBT community. And that's a source of pride for us. Certainly, I'm sorry, are we supposed to be wrapping up?
Yeah,
we're getting the motion.
We have another segment coming up.
All right, so let me give out the website address. It is TG, ctr.org. So again, that's TG as in transgender, CTR as in the abbreviation for center.org. And the telephone number again, 713-520-8586.
We've been talking to Rose Wall and Kristen Williams. Thank you very much. And check out their event on May 1st.
Yes. Okay. Thank you. This is Queer Voices.
Thank you.
I'm Taryn Jane.
And I'm Michael LeBeau.
With News Wrap, a summary of some of the news in or affecting the lesbian and gay community for the week ending April 24th, 2010. The U.S. queer community's new grassroots activist pit bulls, Get Equal, upped the pressure on President Barack Obama this week over his failure to keep major campaign promises to LGBT Americans. Although Obama has taken several smaller steps seen as favorable or helpful, he's yet to secure passage of the Employment Non-Discrimination Act, repeal of Don't Ask, Don't Tell, or repeal of the Defense of Marriage Act. Equality advocates are increasingly worried that chances for those actions will diminish after the midterm elections in November. While Democrats have significant majorities in both the House and Senate, and of course there's a Democrat in the White House, the majority party typically loses seats 2 years after a presidential inauguration. Many in the mostly younger generation of queer activists became activists after the passage of Proposition 8 in California. Some accuse the country's leading LGBT rights groups of being insider wannabes who curry favor with administration officials rather than being the fierce advocates for equality that Obama himself promised to be. The Human Rights Campaign, which bills itself as the nation's largest, and its president, Joe Solmanese, are the most frequent targets of that business-as-usual criticism.
Get Equal's latest broadside started April 19th at a political fundraiser for California's Democratic U.S. Senator Barbara Boxer in Los Angeles. She's facing a strong re-election challenge in November, and Obama was there to help her raise campaign cash. Five Get Equal activists paid their way into the event and then repeatedly shouted at Obama about repealing Don't Ask, Don't Tell as he tried to address the gathering. "Hey, hold on a second, hold on a second. We are going to do that," Obama responded. "Barbara and I are supportive of repealing Don't Ask, Don't Tell, so I don't know why you're hollering." The demonstrators were eventually removed from the room.
The following day, April 20th, Get Equal protesters returned to the White House for a second round of handcuffing themselves to the fence and getting arrested, a month after the group's initial action there. Six service members locked themselves up this time, Lieutenant Dan Choi and Captain Jim Petrangelo II making return visits, were joined by Petty Officer Larry Whitt, Petty Officer Autumn Sandine, Cadet Mara Boyd, and Corporal Evelyn Thomas. "We are handcuffing ourselves to the White House gates once again," Choi said, "to demand that President Obama show leadership on repealing Don't Ask, Don't Tell." Thomas said that the protest by Choi and Petrangelo last month made me realize that I need to do something to stand up for all the black female soldiers who have been discharged. "Many people don't know that we black women are discharged disproportionately more than others under Don't Ask, Don't Tell." The six protesters were taken into custody and released the following afternoon. Their court dates are pending. In an unsettling footnote, U.S. Park Police forced media people covering the event away from the action. "The park's closed, back up," a park police officer yelled repeatedly as he herded journalists away from the protest. Park Police spokesman Sergeant David Schlosser apologized the following day, telling Politico.com that his department screwed up.
Get Equal continued its onslaught in the U.S. Capitol on April 21st, disrupting a hearing of the House Education and Labor Committee to demand that the Employment Non-Discrimination Act, or ENDA, be marked up and sent to the House floor for an immediate vote. Get Equal co-founder Robin McGeehee tried to give Committee Chairman George Miller a magic marker so he could mark up ENDA. "I don't know if because of the recession that you guys can't afford markers or whatever the issue is," McGeehee said. "But in our community, there are people being fired every day because they are lesbian, gay, bi, or transgender. We're working on that as expeditiously as we can," Miller responded. "Thank you very much." ENDA has been stuck in Miller's committee since last year, even though openly gay U.S. Representative Barney Frank of Massachusetts had said it would be voted on by the end of 2009. More recently, Frank, openly gay Representative Jared Polis of Colorado, openly lesbian Representative Tammy Baldwin of Wisconsin, and House Speaker Nancy Pelosi have called the bill a priority and said that they have the votes to pass it. The protesters were not arrested. Polis escorted them from the hearing room. Frank called the disruption immature and tacky and a stupid thing to do. I understand people are frustrated and angry, he added, but the action was no help whatsoever. We've waited too long already, McGeehee said in response. We have been promised since last year and since the 90s that we were going to have employment protections put in place, and yet we still don't have it on the House floor. As if to jump on the Get Equal bandwagon, more than 230 U.S. LGBT and supportive groups signed on to a one-sentence statement to Congress on the same day. Pass the Employment Non-Discrimination Act now. The United States has not seen this kind of burgeoning grassroots activism since the heyday of ACT UP in the late 1980s.
Another president in the Western Hemisphere came under fire this week for his bizarre comments about the modern diet. Speaking at a regional conference on climate change, Bolivia's Evo Morales claimed that eating hormone-injected chicken makes men gay and also causes baldness. The chicken we eat is full of female hormones, he said, so when men eat it, they tend to deviate from their manhood. Baldness, which seems normal, is a disease in Europe, he added. Almost everyone is bald, and it's related to the food they eat. He said that he only eats non-genetically modified chicken to avoid becoming gay or effeminate. Brazil's Association of Lesbians, Gays, Bisexuals, Transvestites, and Transsexuals issued a statement asking Morales to reflect on the gravity of his statement to the dignity of LGBT people and to offer an explanation. Cesar Sigliuti, president of the Argentina homosexual community, told Agence France-Presse that it's an absurdity to think that eating hormone-containing chicken can change the sexual orientation of a person. By following that reasoning, he added, if we put male hormones in a chicken and we make a homosexual eat it, he will transform into a heterosexual. The Spanish Federation of Lesbians, Gays, Bisexuals, and Transsexuals promised a protest demonstration at the Bolivian embassy in Madrid. Their statement called Morales' comments homophobic and demanded an immediate public retraction of these most absurd and unscientific statements. The UK's Guardian newspaper pointed out that chicken producers in Europe, the US, and many other countries abandoned the use of hormones in poultry several decades ago.
A small group of activists interrupted a conference on gender equality earlier this month in Ankara during a speech by a Turkish official demanding that she apologize for saying that being gay is a disease. Alia Kavaf, the government's minister for families and children, called homosexuality a biological disorder in an interview with a Turkish newspaper last month. I think it is a disease that needs treatment, she said. Kavaf ignored the protesters and went on with her speech as cameras turned toward the demonstrators holding banners that read, Don't hate, apologize. Moments later, the Associated Press reported, men in dark suits covered the mouths of the protesters and dragged them out of the hall. Similar remarks by a doctor who claimed that he could cure homosexuality drew the ire of LGBT rights groups in January. Being gay or lesbian is not a crime in Turkey, but sexual minorities have no legal protections and continue to be stigmatized in the predominantly Muslim country. Turkey wants to join the European Union, but its government remains heavily influenced by conservative political and religious forces.
LGBT activists in the European Union have criticized Macedonia for failing to include sexual orientation protections in the nation's new anti-discrimination law. An earlier draft of the law did include sexual orientation language, but the government deleted those words in January. The European region of the International Lesbian, Gay, Bisexual, Trans, and Intersex Association, known by the acronym ILGA, called on European institutions to pressure Macedonia to pass legislation to meet EU requirements. As an EU candidate country, their statement read, the former Yugoslav Republic of Macedonia is expected to introduce a comprehensive anti-discrimination law, providing protection from discrimination on the grounds of age, ethnic origin, disability, religion, race, and sexual orientation. An EU representative said that Macedonia stands alone in the region in its failure to protect gays and lesbians.
But finally, another gay character is coming out in the comic book world. Kevin Keller is the hunky new blonde-haired, blue-eyed student at Riverdale High School. He'll join Archie, Jughead, Betty, and Veronica in the September issue of Veronica, part of the venerable 69-year-old Archie comic book series. Artist and writer David Parent told FeastOfFun.com that, "We're just trying to show Riverdale is a diverse place." According to Parent, Veronica is hot for Kevin, but can't figure out why he's not into her. Everyone else apparently knows that Kevin is gay, but Veronica has no clue. Archie Comics co-chief executive John Goldwater isn't worried about right-wing groups who will likely condemn the introduction of a gay character, saying that they aren't the kind of people we want reading our comics anyway.
That's News Wrap for the week ending April 24th, 2010. Written by Greg Gordon and recorded at the studios of KPFK Los Angeles. You can read the text of this week's News Wrap online at www.thiswayout.org.
Follow the news in your area and around the world. An informed community is a strong community. For This Way Out, I'm Michael LeBeau.
And I'm Taryn James.
Pop, punk, pride, and your biggest crush. Tune up the audiophile later in the program. Fred God Hates Fags Phelps probably first came to many people's attention when he picketed the funeral of gay murder victim Matthew Shepard in 1998. For years before that, however, Phelps and his Topeka, Kansas-based Westboro Baptist Church were notorious in the LGBT community for their traveling homophobic demonstrations. They frequented pride events and other pro-queer rights actions before going into the funeral disruption business. They plagued the memorials of those who died from AIDS, then of U.S. soldiers killed in the line of duty, and most recently of the 29 miners lost in West Virginia. Before all that Phelps family venom was unleashed into the public sphere, it created the abusive fundamentalist home life son Nate Phelps described last time on This Way Out.
If people didn't do, either the kids or our mother didn't do what he required, he would turn violent quickly.
Nate has been speaking out about the origins of his father's relentless anti-LGBT rampage and the plight of children trapped in destructive religious situations, and on April 24th, he took his message back to Topeka for the first time since he left his father's house 20 years ago. As their compelling conversation continues, This Way Out correspondent Heather Kitching asks about any ties that may still bind Nate to his kith and kin.
Any kind of loving connection with him at all? Are you personally on some level able to understand him on a level that other people wouldn't?
Honestly, Heather, I can't. I had such a bad relationship with him growing up, and leaving that situation on my 18th birthday because I didn't feel like I had a choice if I was going to survive.
Mm-hmm.
And then him holding the line so that I couldn't have a relationship with anybody in the family, you know, my mother or my siblings. I was forced to go through a process of, you know, basically mourning the loss of my family. And, with all of that emotion and psychology going on there, I don't feel anything but coldness towards him.
Mm-hmm. What gave you the strength to leave after all of that?
I don't know. I mean, I was always so at odds with him. And, you know, from the early stages of the indoctrination process, I was always questioning and seeing, you know, he would see, you know, God's hand in some event or some aspect of his life, and I was all the time just seeing, you know, this is just natural cause and effect. There's no evidence that there's anything happening here. So we were constantly in conflict, and I just didn't think I would survive. You know, he was so controlling every aspect of our lives. He had absolute control over, and I didn't want to live that way.
Mm-hmm. So you had had another brother that had already left the
yeah.
family, right? So is that what you did? You went towards Mark?
Yeah, that's right. And really, all of my siblings left there for a time, except Shirley.
Huh.
But, you know, you leave that situation and you leave honestly believing deep inside you that you have abandoned God, that you have angered him, and that he's going to punish you. So when things happen in your life and you you perceive it from that perspective. You know, you run it through that filter in your brain, and it sent all of them back.
So each of them would leave, something bad would happen to them, and they would think, God is punishing me, I have to go home.
Yeah, and they'd go back and they stayed after that, so.
And it never occurred to them that being beaten with a mallet was not really a great thing.
It's a hard thing to explain, but that's exactly right. It never occurred to them.
Mm-hmm. But you managed to break free permanently. I mean, what was that process like in the first couple of years of being away from the family?
I was in complete denial for the first 10 or 15 years. In those first 5 years, I was just elated. You know, as far as I was concerned, I got away. I was safe from him. And so I went out and I was just living life with gusto. But I would go through these periods of just abject depression where I would just cut off from the world and was sitting for hours and days in this silent rage.
Hmm.
And then I would go back to, you know, things would go back to normal. And never occurred to me that that wasn't normal, and that somehow this had something to do with me growing up there. I was pretty naive and ignorant about the effects of all that. And, you know, when I would talk to my brother about it, and he would say, it's amazing you survived and all this stuff. And I would just kind of just dismiss that, like, well, I'm fine. Nothing happened, right?
And what about your brother Mark, who also left the family? Now, you said there was three of you that left?
Yeah, my younger sister, Dortha, left when she was around 20 or 22.
Uh-huh.
And she actually still lives in Topeka.
Holy smokes.
But she changed her last name. And so she kind of stays under the radar.
So are you in contact with her or not?
From time to time, you know, we more or less, you know, kind of ebbs and flows. But we'll talk by email from time to time.
Mm-hmm.
And Mark, who I worked with for years and lived with, you know, we kind of grew up together in our adult life.
Mm-hmm.
He's now living in the Southwest. But he had changed his last name because they had moved to the Kansas City area, and that was close enough to the family and to that situation that he didn't want his daughters to suffer because of that name.
Mm-hmm.
So both of them have changed their last name and are kind of flying below the radar.
Mm-hmm. And how are they doing with everything? I mean, do you guys talk? Have they gone through the same process that you've gone through?
Mark has tremendous issues, and he struggles with it constantly, but in his own way. Dortha has always seemed kind of free-spirited and easygoing. And then she was talking to a reporter who was doing a documentary, and they actually recorded part of it and had it in a documentary. And she kind of fell apart.
Hmm.
And it was the first time I realized what some of her issues were. And you know, she has different issues because she's a woman.
Mm-hmm.
And that was a special hell to be a woman in that environment.
In the conclusion of their conversation, Nate Phelps tells Heather Kitching about the personal impact of his father Fred's wacky theology.
I struggled with the question for years, and just recently have finally decided that I just don't believe it anymore. I just don't think that there's any empirical evidence or any way to prove that a God exists.
Next time on This Way Out.
Extra, read all about it, extra. A new This Way Out update has been posted on our website. For recent programming information and behind-the-scenes news about your favorite international LGBT radio show, log on to www.thiswayout.org.
We'll hopscotch from Portland to Nashville to Toronto to find the latest queer music stars in this month's audio file.
Signal flashing and brake lights tapping. I can hear the car horn blasting. I'm a self-destructive radio. Got lost in the crimson glare.
band Kiss Kill is a pop-punk quartet out of Portland, Oregon. They tell us their goal is to create intense, honest rock tunes. Hi, I'm Chris Wilson.
I'm J.D. Doyle, and you're listening to Audiophile. Kiss Kill is also the name of their debut album. And to lead singer Mickey Blue, the songs are personal.
The album is a self-titled, self-produced EP that we actually recorded out of our living room. I write all the lyrics, and Jeff, our guitar player, he writes all the music and arranges the songs. The songs are pretty much little sad girl songs that kind of tell a story of my life and my history, and we hope that you really like it.
Information about the band Kiss Kill and their self-titled album can be found at www.kisskillrocks.com.
We are. Joy between our tears. Whoa. We are what others sometimes appear.
Michelle Garcia is a former holder of the title Miss Transgender San Francisco. And in San Francisco Queers, her third album, she brings her pride way out front.
San Francisco Queers is a special album to me because it's my audience. I want my audience to know that it's a supportive album, that being LGBT is something to celebrate and not to be ashamed of. There are songs about pain and suffering, but there are songs that are about the celebration of the spirit that really ring true, and it kind of creates an umbrella effect. So all those colors of the rainbow, they're in there.
Everyone was there at the Pride Parade Ball. The Sisters of Indulgence answering the call. I saw dykes and bikes and leather girls walking holding hands. Beer and wine, it's party time. What you got there in the can? There was nothing more to say. Then the band started to play. Way down below and up above. It ain't so hard to lose when you got a friend to love.
You can find out about Michelle Garcia and her CD, San Francisco Queers, at www.myspace.com/Michelle Garcia.
Kill all my friends, I'm not home. I'd rather go this alone. My mind been blown to pieces. My life an empty thesis.
The Toronto band Hunter Valentine, their name represents the biggest crush you ever had, the ultimate heartbreaker. And to lead singer Kiyomi, there's a bit of coming of age in their latest album, Lessons from the Late Night.
The new album is called Lessons from the Late Night. Some people might classify it as an EP. Some people might classify it as an LP. It's 7 songs. They're all written in the last 2 years, mostly in and out of Toronto, being on the road. And the album sort of represents for me, coming into adulthood but maintaining a sense of youthfulness.
You can learn more about the album, Lessons from the Late Night, at www.huntervalentine.com.
That's it for this edition of Audiophile. Find out more about Audiophile or contact us by visiting our website at www.audiophile.org. That's www.audiophile.org.
Audiophile is produced by Chris Wilson, J.D. Doyle, and Christopher David Trentum. I'm Chris Wilson.
And I'm J.D. Doyle. Keep listening.
Thanks for tuning in to This Way Out, the International Gay and Lesbian Radio Magazine. This week, Taryn James, Michael LeBeau, Heather Kitching, Sherry Lunn, and J.D. Doyle, Chris Wilson, and Christopher David Trentum contributed program material. Thanks also to Michelle Pleasant, Bronski Beat, Kiss Kill, Michelle Garcia, and Hunter Valentine performed some of the music you heard, and Kim Wilson composed and performed our theme music. This Way Out is supported by a grant from the Kicking Assets Fund of the Tides Foundation and by our listeners. Thank you. Log on to thiswayout.org to see how you can support our work, listen to our podcasts, read the text of this week's news wrap, or subscribe to CDs of our programs. To receive our weekly program email alert, email tworadio@aol.com. You can also write to us at P.O. Box 38327, Los Angeles, California, 90038, USA. For Associate Producer Lucia Chappell and the entire This Way Out family, I'm Greg Gordon. Thanks for listening on KPOV, Bend, Oregon, 4NSA, Noosa, Queensland, WRSU, New Brunswick, New Jersey, and more than 200 other stations around the world, including this community radio station. And we're all going to stay tuned.
This Way Out is heard every week as part of Queer Voices. You are listening to 90.1 FM KPFT. At 90.1 FM, this is KPFT Houston. Now, more of Queer Voices with Jack Valensky and the entire Queer Voices crew.
I wanna kiss ya, I'll no longer hide behind the night. I ain't scared of stares from strangers out in broad daylight. I am done with all these covert kisses, stolen sigh just when we can. I'm gonna make my man my missus, put a ring on his left hand. How long, brother of mine, it's a matter of time. How long, oh, and this is love, yeah, this.
marry a millionaire on a TV show. Get hitched in Vegas to some bitch I barely know. Me and my love have spent some 7 years just building this home that we made. Still our love is second class, our union is still renegade. How long, brother of mine, it's a matter of time. How long, oh, and this is love, yeah, this is love, and this is love, yeah, this is love. I don't bother your love, 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 I don't bother your love. How long, brother of mine, it's a matter of time, yes, how long, oh.
Anthem is a song that I wrote, you know, really shortly after Prop 8 passed in Los Angeles, or California. I live in Los Angeles with my partner, being my husband, and I've never really been an activist per se. You know, I've always been really open in my music career about my sexuality, but I've never really taken on a political issue or anything. I think I was rather lazy in the weeks leading up to the election and really just assumed that it wouldn't pass. I believed in the, I don't want to say the goodness of people. I just really believed that it wouldn't pass and was really stunned when it did and was moved to action. So I wrote, that's the best thing that I could do to contribute to the movement.
That was Christopher Dolman talking about his song from last year called Anthem. And this is J.D. Doyle, welcoming you to Queer Music Heritage. I'm pleased to bring you this month 6 interviews with young artists talking about their new music. In the first part, you'll hear from Christopher Dolman and Mike Rickard, and part 2 from Brett Every and Dylan Rice. And part 3 brings us Richard Cortez and Jeff Heiskell. Each of these artists are of the type that you love their first release and eagerly await their next. And in the case of Christopher Dolman, that took about 5 years. His debut CD from 2004 was called Race the Light, and it became one of my favorites of that year. So I've been chomping at the bit for new material, and he delivered. In addition to the CD single Anthem, he took the unusual step of releasing 2 EPs at the same time. One called Never Was, and the other called Sad Brittany, which is something you probably would not expect. Covers of songs by Britney Spears. So I had to hear about the release of the 2 EPs.
How did you happen to release 2 EPs at the same time?
Well, you know, I went into the studio really intending just to record my EP of original songs, Never Was. And then what happened was there was a scheduling snafu where the studio kind of bumped us around a bunch and they felt bad, and so they gave us a free day at the very, very beginning of the project. And I hadn't been in the studio in 5 years, you know, so the thought was, why don't we take a day and just kind of play around a bit and have fun before we kind of dive into this intense project. And we just were really surprised by the results of this Sad Britney EP of Britney Spears covers, so we finished it. And the coolest part about it was that it set a really playful tone that I think carried over into recording Never Was, and I think really elevated it.
How'd you get the idea to do the Britney Spears EP?
I got the idea to do Sad Britney because I'd always done Gimme More ever since that song came out. I'd stumbled upon that cover, and I played that live many, many times. So when we had this free day, we just did that song, and then we just kind of, we were like, well, what else do we have? and we just ended up with these four awesome songs.
Every time they turn the lights down, I just wanna go the extra mile for you. My display of affection feels like no one else in the room. We can get down like there's no one around. We'll keep on rocking, keep on rocking. Cameras are flashing while we're dirty dancing. They keep watching, keep watching. Feels like the crowd is saying, gimme, gimme more, gimme more, gimme, gimme more, gimme, gimme more, gimme more, gimme, gimme more, gimme, gimme more, gimme more, gimme more. The center of attention, even when we're up against the wall. Got me in a crazy position. You're on a mission. You got my permission. Oh, we can get down like there's no one around. We'll keep on rocking, keep rocking. Cameras are flashing while we're dirty dancing. They keep watching, keep watching. Feels like the crowd is saying, gimme, gimme more, gimme more, gimme, gimme more.
Song from Sad Britney has been getting the most attention?
The song that's gotten the most attention has been Toxic, which is exactly what I expected.
I love the gay spin Toxic gets.
I know. it's cool. That's the first one that we finished, and I was like, when we came up with the harmonies for that, I was just like, oh, I love this. I had no idea how awesome it could have been.
Baby, can't you see I'm calling? A guy like you should wear a warning. It's dangerous, I'm falling. There's no escape, I can't wait. I need a head, baby, give me it. You're dangerous, I'm loving it. High, can't come down. It's in the air and it's all around. Do you feel me now? With the taste of your lips, I'm on a ride. You're toxic, I'm slipping under a taste of a poison paradise. I'm addicted to you. Don't you know that you're toxic? And I love what you do. Don't you know that you're toxic? It's getting late to give you up. I took a sip from my devil cup. Slowly it's taking over me. Calm down, it's in the air and it's all around. Can you feel me now? With the taste of your lips, I'm on a ride. You're toxic, I'm slipping under a taste of a poison paradise. I'm addicted to you, don't you know that you're toxic? And I love what you do. Don't
Don't you know that you're toxic? Intoxicate me now with your loving now. I think I'm ready now. I think I'm ready now. Intoxicate me now with your loving now. I think I'm ready now. I think I'm ready now. I think I'm ready now. With the taste of your lips, I'm on a ride. You're toxic, I'm slipping under a taste of a poison paradise. I'm addicted to you, don't you know that you're toxic? And I love what you do. Don't you know that you're toxic?
Well, I have an advantage or disadvantage in that I don't follow the music of Britney Spears. So these are kind of new songs to me. I mean, I know her song Womanizer because the guy in the video is so hot. Guess she didn't consider that one.
No, well, you know, I it's funny. When I did, you know, in the my recording of Gimme More in the bridge, you know, we just have this triangle solo. But when I'm just playing solo acoustic live, I don't have that. So what I usually do is sort of transition into just one chorus of Womanizer and then back into Gimme More. So I did consider it, but no. I mean, only as a joke. I mean, because the challenge was to be quality, you know, if you happen to not be in on the joke. And I think we succeeded in that department.
Tell me about your take on Baby One More Time.
Baby One More Time is interesting. For me, that one is mostly just comedy. I mean, because the only real ironic spin on that I could hear is abuse, which isn't particularly amusing and which isn't anything that I wanted to put out. So that song I actually was my least favorite when we had just had the guitar and vocal, and I was intending to not include it on the release. But then what we did is we had George Stanford, who is the fellow who produced Anthem and my upcoming EP. He is a really incredible horn player. He, I believe, actually is playing trombone in the Jonas Brothers TV show theme song. But he came in and just laid down those horn parts, and it just was so lovely. That's really what inspired me to love it and to release it.
Oh, baby, baby, how was I supposed to know something wasn't right? Oh, baby, baby, I shouldn't have let you go. Now you're out of sight. Show me how you want it to be. Tell me, baby, 'cause I need to know now, because I must confess, I still believe. When I'm not with you, I lose my mind. Give me a sign. Hit me, baby, one more time. Hit me, baby, one more time.
Any word from the Britney people about your recording?
Nothing official. I've heard a couple of rumors, and who knows? I mean, I don't know if she would ever hear it, or if she's exposed enough to outside world to ever hear it. But I would be really curious her take. That's for sure. And I hope that she would take it in the proper spirit. I mean, some people have taken it as me making fun of Britney Spears, when it's really not that at all. It's some sort of, you know, some sort of twisted homage with a lot of love and respect.
I know many people sometimes get impatient with an artist if they're waiting for the next release and it seems to take too long. Maybe you could comment on that process for an indie artist, on how difficult that is.
Well, you know, there's a number of factors. I mean, one of them is just purely financial. I mean, I was really blessed to have a lot of money to make my first record, and I did not have that same experience, you know, when I went into the studio to record these new EPs. So, you know, I had, it's a whole different ballpark when you've got to raise money. as far as songwriting goes, I mean, everybody works at a different, everybody has their own, you know, creative clock. You know, I tend to make my way organically through my life, whatever aspect of my life it is, you know, if it's, you know, my personal life or my music career. And, you know, it really took me this long to have the body of songs and to really organically find the people to work with that I felt would really do my follow-up justice.
I interviewed you when your first album came out, and you told me you considered your CD as a journey. And what are your thoughts regarding your music 5 years later?
You know, I still feel the same way, and I think that is part of why I didn't do a full album as my follow-up, because I had so many songs, you know, that I could have made an album, but the truth was I didn't feel like they hung together in a way that really communicated some sort of, you know, common thread or anything like that. And I think that by doing the EPs, I managed to, you know, the arcs are smaller, but I think no less powerful. So I still feel that way. I mean, when you put in either of those EPs, Sad Britney or Never Was, I think that there's a journey that you take, even if it's a shorter one.
At that time, I asked you what song from Race the Light you were the most proud of, and you told me one, and I wonder what you would say today.
Oh, goodness. Well, I think I would say Over My Head. I'm not sure what I answered 5 years ago, but Over My Head is, to me, at least in terms of songwriting, the closest I've gotten to great.
How do you greet the day with sunshine in your eyes and a smile that seems to say, hey, it's okay? Every morning it's like I'm raising the dead. Gotta fool my heart so I can fool my head. Left out of bed. Left out of bed. Miles of water, oceans worrying me. When I wake up, it's over my head.
From the EP Never Was come from?
The title of Never Was came from the song Has Been, which is the last song on the EP, and it initially, this I was going to call the EP The Has Been Who Never Was, which is the whole line of the chorus of that song, but I was kind of thinking of it as sort of like a, it sounded sort of like a fable, like a short story, which is kind of what I intended from the EP format. But then, you know, that sounded a little bit too heavy-handed for me and a little bit too dark. And so I really liked Never Was because there's something like, there's a bit of a twinkle to it, you know. There's something a little bit hopeful, and it also sounds a little bit like a fairy tale.
Tell me more about the song Has Been.
The Has Been is a song that I wrote actually in my head while I was driving back from a gig in San Diego one night a few years back. It was a really, really rough show. I got there and the booker had changed my time to accommodate a friend of his, and so the people that had come out to see me in San Diego, a town that I don't live in, you know, either had to wait or didn't get to see me at all, and then the show was frustrating, and I was just kind of feeling lost on my path, and I'm driving back late at night from this gig, and just feeling like giving up before you ever really got what you were going for.
I'm a fraud, I pretend I ain't chasing glory. Just a lonely wanderer trying to tell a simple story. You can feel free to cry or laugh at the kid with the carefully practiced autograph. So I'll be the has-been and ever was. Hold my breath and I'll jump from this boxcar, because it circles the mountain and never starts to climb. I'll leave my pennies on the railroad track. I'll jump from this train, you know I won't sit back. Leave this jumble of words for someone else to rhyme. I say that every time.
What's the overall message to Never Was?
Never Was is really a journey about being, about your dreams. It's about being so overwhelmed by your dreams that you have to kind of wander away in order to really find your way back to them. I'm really psyched. I mean, I love these two EPs, and then I love the one that I'm about to finish that I'm going to put out in the spring, and then, you know, we'll see what's up after that.
It changes thinking from our point of view, too. Like, many albums are only online now. They're only on iTunes. And it's like, oh,
right.
I'm not sure what I think about that.
Yeah, you know, well, Sad Britney is only on iTunes. I mean, I think it's on like two other sites as well, like Rap.
But I mean, like, it's only digital available online.
Yes, Sad Britney is. But that was just that's a financial choice, because paying for the licensing of the songs, licensing them digitally, I pay as I go. If I manufacture it, I have to pay the royalties for the amount that I manufacture, not the amount that I sell.
Oh, okay.
So it's about having more money up front. But it's very important for me to have physical copies of Never Was to sell at shows. Very important. I mean, even though the online sales are probably more, and even with Race to Light, I've sold way more digitally than I have physically.
Huh. So that goes back to the short attention span. If someone's watching you live and they're ready to buy the album, are they going to remember to go home and download it? Maybe not.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. You know, 9 out of 10 times, no, they're not. Definitely. I think that CDs and digital music will coexist on some level, because there's always going to be people who want, you know, who cherish just the memento.
Well, I'm a collector. I want to hold it in my hand. It's more real to me if I can hold it in my hand.
Sure. And as an artist, it's less real to me not having the physical CD. You know, I want to look at it. But I think, I think that they'll coexist. I don't think that the CD is in real danger.
Mm-hmm. On audio file, I don't think we've done yet an album that's only been available digitally, but I can see it happening.
Sure. I think a lot of them will, just because you're also just saving so much money. I mean, with manufacturing, it's so expensive, and it only costs like $30 to slap it up on every single digital distribution place, you know, available. I uploaded Never Was through a site called Reverb Nation. That's $35 a year, but they don't take any cut of your royalties. If you upload it through CD Baby, you pay a one-time $35 fee, but they take 9% of your earnings. So it's really a toss-up about what works best for you.
Which have you found to be the most lucrative of the digital sites?
Oh, iTunes, far and away.
A while back, Christopher sent me a demo he had recorded, which I really liked. And although he's not yet found the project he wanted to use it with, he gave me permission to include it on this show. Kind of like an exclusive, and I thank him for that. It's a natural for me. It's called Music on the Radio.
I've been thinking of you. I'm standing in line. The store around the corner from my place. I've been thinking of you. I shower on my train. See a little bit of you in everything.
Closing this segment on Christopher Dahlman is one more song from his EP, Never Was, called Coming Around. And you can find out more about his music at www.chrisdahlman.com.
I'm changing the way that I do business. I'm closing up shop. I woke up on a question, is this my life or not? So long to feel like I was giving it a shot, but I'm not. I'm not. Don't know how it got to where I sleepwalk through every day. A pendulum of my guitar never seems to want to play. 9 to 5, I'm half alive, alone if I've been this way. Keeping my pulse a day. The trick is how you choose to see it. It's coming around, it's coming around. If I can dream it, I can be it. It's coming around, it's coming around. On the horizon, this kid is rising up.
And this is a good time to invite you to check out my website. If you visit it while you're listening, you can see the playlist and follow along while looking at photos of the artists and recordings. I've always considered our music history as a visual as well as an audio experience. Again, that's at www.queermusicheritage.com. Also, for more very queer programming, please listen to After Hours with Jimmy Carper, every Friday night, Saturday morning from 1 to 4 a.m. on KPFT. It's Queer Radio with Attitude. My next artist's first release also came out in 2004. He's from the Atlanta area, and his name is Mike Rickard. And that CD was called Stirred Not Shaken. He's got a new one now called Sweat, which I think is terrific, and I ask him for a quick summary of it.
When I was writing the songs for Sweat, there were some themes that came out all about just like living my life to the fullest, getting the most out of every moment, to keep my relationship with my partner fresh and exciting, and just to balance that with all the pressures that come from work and everything else. And it takes a lot of effort and sweat to balance those things and do them successfully. And I think those are themes that everybody can relate to.
I love the album overall, not only musically, but that the lyrics have such meat to them.
Well, thank you. I would say that I tend to be one who's a bit analytical and always questioning and searching and trying to grow, and I think that just probably comes out in the lyrics. But I did want to balance where I felt like the last CD, some of the content might have been a little darker, a little more introspective. I wanted this to still be, you know, be more in the moment, but still really have something to say. So thank you.
I do want to get back to the first album, Stirred Not Shaken, and ask about the song Natural.
Okay. Natural, when we were writing and recording the CD, I was at a point that we were getting sort of near the end of the recording process, and I was trying to decide, did I want to come out as a gay artist, or did I just want to, you know, come out as a musician, just put a CD out as a musician? And ultimately, I felt that if I did not include, you know, outwardly acknowledge that I'm a gay man, that the CD would really be more just a collection of songs as opposed to something that really reflected my life. When I wrote the lyrics, I tested it out on several of my friends, and I let them read it, and then at the end, when it says it's only natural that I would fall in love with a guy like you, the eyebrows would go up, and I got the exact reaction that I wanted, is that people were just picturing a normal love, not loving relationship, and then at the end there's a little bit of a hook. And I also thought it was a fun way to be a little bit subversive in saying that it's natural that I would fall in love with a guy, where, you know, there's all these people that say it's unnatural and, you know, all that stupid stuff. So, but I didn't want it to be a confrontational song. I just wanted it to be a song where anybody could picture their own relationship and then at the end, you know, throw in the guy on guy element to it.
I can tell you it was different.
From Mike Rickard's 2004 album, Stirred Not Shaken, that was Natural.
What was the overall message of your first album?
I would say that was much more of an introspective record, and it was really reflecting on everything leading up to that point, which I had a whole lot to kind of cull through, which basically kind of came into self-acceptance, learning to love myself, growing up in church and going to Bible college, and then realizing that I was a gay man. I had a number of things to kind of figure out. I think that's where a lot of the introspection came from on that record.
And what's the overall message of the album, Sweat?
You know, Sweat is about, I would say, more about living in the moment. The songs and stories talk a lot about being in a particular situation at that moment and what you feel about it and just living life to the fullest. There's a definition of sweat that I really like that says to labor or exert oneself so as to cause perspiration. And I think you can either just go through the motions in life and it really kind of runs you, or you can run your life and accomplish some of the things you want to and have fun while doing it. And that's some of the thought process behind the CD.
Didn't you have a quote somewhere, life is not a noun, it's a verb?
Exactly. That's from a song called Anything of Nothing. And I spent a part of my life being afraid to try things. And at one point I was kind of thinking, am I afraid of failing or am I afraid of succeeding? And I think, the expression nothing ventured, nothing gained is pretty true. You can't wait for anything to happen. You kind of have to make it happen yourself. So the quote from Anything of Nothing is basically exactly that, taking charge and doing it, and because the end result, anything of nothing, is nothing.
Sometimes it seems so random, nothing seems to fit. Fear gets in the way and blocks what lies ahead. There are no guarantees, but would we want them anyway? If all we had to do is just show up and breathe. Just breathe. It's time to make a change. So pull, I plead. And if that's not enough, I'll love, I'll fight, I'll bleed. I've come to realize that the choice is up to me. Fate can take care of itself. I'll make my own destiny. Cause anything of nothing.
What's your writing process?
When I write songs, I usually start with lyrics first, and a lot of times I can be inspired by something that I read or just see a quote or just a thought that may come to my head, and I keep kind of a journal of all of those thoughts and ideas, and sometimes those will just stew in my brain, and I kind of know when it's time to sit down and try and flesh everything out, and I usually just kind of brain dump on anything related to a particular topic, and by doing that, that really kind of helps tell what sort of story I want to convey. And then at that point, I'll sit down and write the verses and the choruses and the bridge and that kind of thing. And sometimes the music comes somewhat simultaneously. Sometimes it can come quite a while after. But I usually always start with the lyrics.
Well, I love that you write about things that other people don't, like the fact that a relationship takes work.
Well, I would say that where that kind of comes from is just I'm writing about things in my own life and what I'm experiencing. And my partner and I have been together for a good while, and you know, I think every relationship goes through the, you know, the honeymoon phase, the more settling in phase, and then once you get past that, you're really at the point of trying to make sure you don't take each other for granted, that you keep the relationship fresh and new, and if you don't do that, then it just can become a bit boring. And so I think that's where I'm at in my life, is just doing the small, simple things that keep things interesting.
You know I'm going to ask about stupid stuff like that.
That is, I've always said, you know, and like looking at my relationship with my partner, is that we had a lot of the big things in common. And a lot of times when you get together with somebody, it's because of the things that you have in common. Those are what probably brings you together, but that's not necessarily what keeps you together. I've always said that a relationship is built on the small things, the little simple things that you do, the thoughtful things that you do. So that has always stuck in my head, and the idea of stupid stuff like that came from a story that I read, and I just decided to write about all the little things that you can do to be fun and surprising and keep things fresh. And I thought it was a fun song, and probably one of the happiest songs I've ever written. So I was really, really pleased with it. But that's the whole things behind it, is just the stupid stuff like that. There's nothing better, and that's what really keeps a relationship fresh.
Kiss me in the morning to start the day off right, and I'll tell you that I love you before we say goodnight. Those are just two bookends on either side of sleep. What matters most is what we do with all that's in between. You call me through the day just to say hello, and if I have to work late, I call to let you know. We always eat together, take the dogs for a walk. It gives us time to laugh, it gives us time to talk. Stuff like that. Sometimes you bring a gift just because you want to, and I watch your favorite TV show just to be with you. We still hold hands just like we did when we first met, and there's a lot of unused space in our king size. Stuff like that.
Tell me about When the Hot Cools Down.
Now that came from a story that I was reading, and I can't even remember what story it was, but the quote the person said was, well, you know, I'm still going to be here when the hot cools down. And I thought that was such a cool expression and statement. And really, as we go through relationships and you kind of get past the get to know you phase and get into the normal everyday life, that hot really does start cooling down a little bit. But a relationship isn't just about infatuation or these feelings of love. It is actually about commitment. So that's what I chose to write about, is that when the hot starts cooling down, you take the things that you need to do to heat them up again.
never thought it'd feel like this. I can barely catch my breath. My heart is beating fast, but I'm not looking for tonight. I want something that will last before we go too far. But now let's take it slow. I have a question. There's something that I need to know. Well, it's not so new. Years ago, is it harder than it seems? Have we found the middle ground between the extremes? We make each other mad, yeah, we drive each other crazy. Sometimes we get distracted, sometimes we just get lazy. But you make my heart skip a beat, you take my breath away. I've learned the secret for tomorrow, he's living for today. I knew we'd come this far, but there's a long go. I have a question. There's something that I need to know. When it's not so new, and the shine wears off, when you're just not sure, and you think you've had enough, are you gonna turn and run, or are you gonna stay?
Tell me about the song Just Like New.
Well, we live in a house that was built in the 20s. It's a bungalow, and it's a really awesome house. But when we bought that house and started doing work, there's always so many surprises that come in an old house. For example, when we, the downstairs bathroom, we thought we were going to do just a little bit of minor work to give it a little bit of an update, and ended up having to strip the walls down to the stud and just completely redo so many things. It seems like every project we've done in that house, what we think is going to take a certain amount of time and cost a certain amount of money, always takes more time and more money, more effort than we've initially thought. And I remember thinking about that house as a metaphor for relationships or opening your life to someone, that there's always surprises, there's always work or a little more work, or a little more effort. And I just thought it was kind of a fun way to spoof, you know, talk about my relationship with my partner. Just saying, I'd like you better if I ever get you just like new. And I said that about the house all the time. I think I'd really like this house if it was new. But, of course, people aren't new, and so I just thought it was a fun way to use the house as an analogy for a relationship.
Bought an old house, yeah, and it's got great bones, but it came with some problems, some hidden and some unknown. The floors are a little saggy, the paint's peeling off the walls, my hair is blowing in the breeze, and the furnace just went cold. Or call 1-888-WE-FIX-IT. Tell them what's gone wrong. I'm gonna call the day. I've waited much too long. It's more
little bit more. To prove a point, sometimes you're not quite right. Gonna call 1-888, we fix it, and I'll tell them what's gone wrong.
That was called Just Like New from Mike Rickard's new CD, Sweat. This is J.D. Doyle, and again, I want to thank Christopher Dahlman and Mike Rickard for the interviews, and you for joining me on Queer Music Heritage. Mike's website is at www.mikerickard.com, and Rickard is spelled R-I-C-K-A-R-D. And don't forget to check out part two of this show for interviews with an Australian artist named Brett Every and Dylan Rice from Chicago. And I just can't stop myself. There's also part three, with interviews with singer-songwriter Richard Cortez and Jeff Highschool, who'll talk about his own music and of when he was the frontman of the popular 90s band, the Judy Bats. You can find all that at my site at www.queermusicheritage.com. The closing song by Mike Rickard is called Sweat. And I ask him why he made it the title track.
Because I think overall the theme of the entire CD is really about living life in the moment, just for me to get the absolute most out of my existence. And because of that, you can't do it by sitting on your duff. You have to make those kinds of things happen, and it takes effort. So that's why I called it Sweat. Plus, I thought Sweat was kind of a fun song to sort of highlight, because it definitely is one that'll get you moving.
You have been listening to Queer Voices, heard each Monday at 9 p.m. here on KPFT, a publicly funded Pacifica Network station. Queer Voices is produced live in Houston with recorded segments from This Way Out, which is produced at KPFK in Los Angeles, and J.D. Doyle's Queer Music Heritage, which is produced in Houston. Queer Voices executive producer is Jack Valensky. On-air voices are Brian Levinka, Jennifer Renee, J.D. Doyle, Glenn Holt, Summer Iman, and Jack Valensky. For more information about tonight's program, including links to websites and organizations mentioned during the show, visit queervoices.org. And you can send email to jack at queervoices.org. Be sure to listen to KPFT every Sunday morning, starting at 1 a.m. for After Hours with Jimmy Carper. It's Queer Radio with Attitude. At 90.1 FM, this is KPFT Houston, a Pacifica Foundation station. For Queer Voices, I'm Glenn Holt.
Join us this Sunday, May 2nd, 5 p.m. at the Arab American Community Center, 10555 Stancliff.
In 1948, Palestinians were ruthlessly attacked, massacred, and driven from their homes into refugee camps by Zionist terror groups and never allowed to return.
Palestinian refugees. Destruction of Palestinian villages, farms, businesses, and homes.
Today, after 62 years, Palestinians are still an invaded, dispossessed, occupied, brutalized, blockaded, and segregated people.
This year, Al-Oda Houston has invited the esteemed Palestinian freedom fighter, Dr. Mustafa Barghouti, to commemorate the Nakba.
This Sunday, May 2nd, at the Arab American Community Center, 10555 Stancliff. For more information, call 713-545-5257.
This fall, KPFT will hold an election to seat delegates on the local station board. There will be separate but parallel elections for both listener and staff delegates to the Pacifica Foundation's five local station boards. That election may seem like a long way away, but it will be here before you know it. Why not consider participating in KPFT as a member of our board? Board delegates are elected to bring diverse grassroots voices from the community into the dialogue between the community and the station. Candidates are chosen in both listener and staff pools. To be a listener candidate, you can contribute at least $25 to a foundation radio station. If you are a KPFT volunteer and want to be considered as a staff candidate, you must complete 30 or more verifiable volunteer hours at a foundation radio station. Pacifica's principles inspire us to strive for diversity, and we encourage members of our diverse communities to consider being a part of this board. This is KPFT, Houston.
The Orange Show invites you to the Art Car Ball. The legend returns on Thursday, March 6th, from 7 p.m. to 11 p.m. at the 2400 block of Munger Street. What better way to kick off the 2010 Art Car Parade weekend than with a night of live music, food, spirits, performance art, and fire-breathing cars? The Art Car Ball blurs the line between spectator and performers. Be sure you come in style for the costume contest. Live music from Southern Backtones, Flaming Hellcats, Herschel Berry, and The Natives, and Pearl is sure to help make the ball a night to remember. Tickets can be purchased in advance from your favorite Art Car artist or from www.orangeshow.org. Tickets can also be purchased at the door. You've been listening to 90.1 KPFT Houston.
That's life. That's life. Life.
we move, we try to make it like me, but go in another stoplight. That life, who works 7 days a week and can't buy nothing just because of tax price. That life, your one friend and now your one betrayal, you like where them do Jesus Christ. That life, you double cross and backbite.
Yes!
Rise before the sun, dust for dawning. Read a couple songs each and every morning. Touch the road and look some food, call the picnic, them yarning. Be a good works me performing.
And we still feeling it, the little that the poor man got. Them stealing it, empty paper yard. And me kit and put a meal in it. Prime man, that's crazy, them tell me what I'm dealing with. Every loophole, no mean no ceiling it. For a crisis, substitution of high prices. Cause inflation, that's why the world is like this. People are say what kind of life this. The war in the club, them not like it. That life, every move we try to make is like me broke up in another stoplight.
The free program you just heard was paid for by the listener members of KPFT Houston. If you're not already a KPFT member, we encourage you to join with us in keeping free speech alive by becoming one. Basic membership is still $35 a year. You don't have to, but you'll feel better. Thanks for listening.